Good afternoon, folks, and welcome back to the Elephant in the Room here on WJAS 1320 AM and 99.1 FM Talk. This is your host, Sam DeMarco, and I'm joined, as usual, in the studio today by my trusty executive director, John Schneider. John, thanks for being here.
Thanks for those kind words, Sam.
And we're also, you know, you always hear me throwing some sort of thing to try to rhyme with his name, but dazzling dandy Daryl Grandy is here as well. Our producer, he's here to make the magic happen and make sure that you can hear us and we can get the information from our guests across to you. So, Daryl, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Sam, and good afternoon.
And while I'm thanking you, I need to thank our listeners
yes.
for being here and for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Now, folks, we have a great show for you today. You know, in studio as well is my, well, I guess I have to say it's my favorite state representative because she is my state representative for the Pennsylvania Legislative 44th District, Valerie Gatos. Representative Gatos, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Sam. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Well, listen, we're happy you were able to take time out of your busy schedule to be able to join us today. And Valerie, before we get talking about all the great things that you're doing in Harrisburg, okay, what the hell is going on in the Pennsylvania House that the Democrats have a state rep who is on the lam, arrest warrants out for his arrest from the police for violating a PFA, protection from abuse order, you know, to protect his wife. And now he's on the lam, and Democrats are voting in his name in the Pennsylvania House? What the hell is going on?
Well, Sam, you characterized that very well. The Democrats have a fugitive from justice actually voting, and they are voting for this gentleman, Representative Boyle. It's really upset us all because, you know, while we on our Republican side have people who are excused from voting because they are serving our country. Representative Kerwin, and certainly a shout out to you. Thank you for serving our country so well. But while Representative Kerwin is serving our country, we have someone on the other side of the aisle who's probably just about ready to serve time.
Oh, you know, hey John, please reach out to Tommy Lee Jones, okay? Because I believe that he can track this Representative Boyle down and put him where he belongs. But no, this really, folks, or my gosh, listeners, what we're talking about today, since Democrats took a one-seat majority in the House after the 2022 midterm elections, this is part and parcel with the way they have attempted to govern, which is to say not govern, but to like rule by diktat and fiat. And they're just using this guy here to sort of ram through legislation that they would like to ram through.
Well, absolutely. And what's even worse is that I guess when they voted for him, they voted for him yesterday to allow him to vote. So, you know, that was one of the things at question is that why should because he is the target of this issue, why should he be allowed to vote and he should be able to, or he should be excusing himself from a vote?
Well, I wish I could say that I was shocked that they did that, but how can I say I'm shocked that the party that wants to defund the police, the party that wants to let everyone out of jail and cares more about the people who've committed crimes than they care about the victims of those crimes would do something like this?
Without a doubt. You know, well, here's the thing is that we need crime control, not gun control.
Oh, exactly. And hey, you know, when we talk about gun control, we're talking about being able to take and put those shots in a small grouping, okay? Not trying to take and prevent, you know, our citizens from being able to freely exercise their Second Amendment rights.
Well, and that's something that I said on the House floor is I was like, look, you know, they're trying to basically make sure that people, they take away their guns, but yet at the same time, the same people who they are trying to take guns away from people who own them lawfully, but yet, well, at the same time, allowing people who getting them unlawfully, they're letting them right out of jail. We've got a DA in Philadelphia who's doing that. And, you know, that's something that I pointed out on the House floor a couple weeks ago is that, you know, how we need to have crime control. And, you know, gun control is such a minor part of that. And look, we have crime. It needs to be taken care of. And we see nothing that they're doing to reinforce and enforce the laws that currently exist.
I couldn't say it better there, right? So now, I don't know, as we're talking about this, before we get into talking about your specific legislation. We're talking about events of the week. Did you see the part where, you know, I was featured in this because it's part of a, I uncovered some of the information, but the Democrats here in Pennsylvania, for state senator, House members, all the way up to the governor, are working with a fake, false website where they're sending out letters that look official, directing folks to go to a website that looks official, sort of trying to emulate the official Department of State's website, asking people to register to vote there and to request their mail-in ballots, which is really, it's just an attempt at stealing people's personal information.
You know, that's exactly what it's doing. And, you know, we just voted this week on a bill to prohibit dark money and have more transparency about dark money. But here's the problem. The Democrats put a bill forward that only made it impossible or made it this bill made it impossible for dark money that is from only certain classes of nonprofits. It didn't include the nonprofits that most of the Democrats get their money and go through a lot of these nonprofit organizations, which we see, you know, Get Out the Vote, things like that. And they are stealing your data when they are doing it under the guise of nonprofits.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, Democrats, they complain about Citizens United. And folks, you've heard them talk a lot about that. But all Citizens United did was to take and extend free speech rights, you know, in this country. Okay. But the Democrats certainly don't want that to occur. They want every single advantage they can. And you know what's always interesting, and I've always believed this, is if you want to know what they're doing, just listen to what they accuse Republicans of doing.
That's absolutely true.
Because they have a fantastic record of projection, right?
Without a doubt. There is multiple cases of that. But you know what, though? I was listening to an article or a podcast from 538, and what they were saying is that people are beginning to recognize the lies that are just out there constantly. But again, we're constantly being accused of things that they do themselves. And it is like this death by a thousand cuts, because when we fight back on some of those petty little things that we think are beneath us, but when they adds up, and people start believing some of those lies. But now what 538 was saying is that they're beginning to reverse that trend a little bit, and people are beginning to get a little bit smarter, I hope.
Well, listen, I hope so. And I think part of the problem here, folks, is, you know, right now, is you go to the grocery store, you go to the gas station, you pay your electric bill, you know, you check your bank account, your 401k. You understand how this economy is hurting you, okay? But when it comes to election season, there are so many commercials, there is so much noise that, you know, the media comes out and conflates things. And sometimes it's hard to see through all that, to see what's really important. Let me tell you what's important. The average family has lost $23,760 paying for the increased cost of living under Biden. That's $23,760 since he's been in office. Right now, you're paying $4,170 more on energy. You paid $3,206 more on food. You paid $3,981 more on shelter and $8,455 more on transportation. Now, these numbers, this is not something I made up. This is coming from the Joint Economic Committee, okay? But folks, it's important as you look to vote here next Tuesday in the primary here in Pennsylvania on April 23rd, and especially as we look forward to November, you understand exactly who's causing you this pain. You know, I saw Valerie earlier on Thursday, the Wall Street Journal announced that mortgage rates ticked up to 7.1%, the highest they've been, you know, this century here. I mean, folks, you know, you hear the Democrats talk a lot about the need for affordable housing, but yet they continue to go about every day, daily, making it less affordable with their bad policies and their out of control spending, which are increasing inflation and driving up our mortgage rates. You need to remember that. You know, energy is up 38.8% under Biden. Gasoline is up 47.8%. Electricity is up 29.3%. Natural gas, which we have an abundance here in Pennsylvania, but because they won't allow us to extract it properly, you know, is up 26.9%. Groceries are up 21.1%. Eggs up 49.3%. Milk is up 15%. Chicken, 23.9%. Transportation is up 32.5%. Airfare is up 32.7%. Public transportation is up 22.2%. Used cars have increased in price by almost 21%. Folks, wherever you turn and whatever you use in your daily life, your cost of living is more expensive. And while I just recited numbers talking about the Biden administration and how things cost more today, this is just as important here, and it's also taking place here in Harrisburg in Pennsylvania. And that's why State Representative Valerie Gatiss, who's here with us today, is fighting so hard on your behalf.
You know, Sam, I recommend that everyone take the time to watch Session online. You can actually go to the PAHouseGOP.com website, watch Session when we're in session, and you will see that every single thing that the Democrats have been introducing, it's almost like Munchausen by proxy. What they do is they create a problem, and then they pretend that they're fixing it, but within that piece of legislation that has a name that sounds really good, that it's helping us, reducing inflation, reducing cost of living, mm-hmm. all that sort of stuff, it literally is doing the exact opposite, and it's destroying small business. One of the things that I always say is, look, more government is never an answer to bad government. And unfortunately, the Democrats seem to put forth legislation that seems to say, look, we're going to create a problem. Now we're going to pretend like we're going to fix it, but we're going to have a bigger problem. And those are the types of bills that we're voting on. And it's very frustrating because they have these really glorious names that would trick everybody into thinking that we should be voting for them when the reality is we should be voting against
them. You mean like
them.
The Affordable Care Act?
The Affordable
okay.
Care Act.
It was going to make health care less expensive, right? Hey, John, one of our frequent guests on the show, you know, Guy Shiraki,
yeah.
okay, from Commonwealth there, he put out a great article where he talked about just what Representative Gatiss was talking about here. The Democrats will take they make up a problem that doesn't exist. They'll tell you that it's a crisis. And only through giving them more control or more money can they address it. And in the majority of these things, look at global warming, for example. The majority of these things, it's not even measurable. You know, I've seen there are videos out there where Senator Kennedy in Washington, in Washington, John Kennedy from Louisiana, in Washington was quizzing someone that was testifying, you know, in regards to climate change. And he asked him, you know, and this was a deputy. Deputy in the Department of Energy, mm-hmm. he asked him how much do we need to spend to make a difference? And the guy was talking about us spending $50 trillion. and Senator Kennedy was asking, look at that. You want us to spend $50 trillion and you can't tell me how much of a difference or if it's going to make any difference? You know, right now you have China building, in effect, almost two coal fired power plants a week. You have India doing the same. You have all this, and we have here in the West, we have countries wrecking their economies. Mm. Look at what we're doing here. We don't have a stable electric grid today. And you have the Biden administration pushing this. And in Harrisburg, my gosh, you have Josh Shapiro, the governor, trying to appeal, you know, the Commonwealth Court decision, which took us out of RGGI, but which is keeping our energy costs 30% higher. So, you know, I'm sorry I go off on a rant sometimes.
No, Sam, I love to hear you talk because you are just solid right on these issues. You know, you talk about wrecking the economy, going back to the Affordable Care Act. You know, not only was it punitive and discriminatory against small business. And once small businesses prior to the Affordable Care Act used to be able to pool together mm-hmm. and have affordable health care, now they can't. So right. like as I said, is it's punitive and it's also discriminatory against small business, which is why I put together a bill in the House Bill 555, which is to allow association health plans. And I will tell you, it's been frustrating because we have been trying to meet with the Department of Insurance. And under the last administration, was coincidence, the Secretary of Insurance, her father was the head of the Kaiser Foundation, who wrote the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. And she basically said, nope. She really thinks it's great as it is. And now I'm understanding that the Democrats are floating an idea to have another state-run health plan, which they already did that through something called Penny, which was a colossal failure. We're just saying, hey, allow associations to pull together. So if you're a small business and you are a business that, let's say you're a life science company, you have 5 employees, if you can get a group of people that have 50 or more employees, you should be able to pool together and have that affordable health care. So we're fighting for that in Harrisburg.
Well, good for you, and thank you. And, you know, you're talking about the Affordable Care Act. Folks, something else in the news is the Biden administration is taking and trying to buy votes by taking and saying that he's going to forgive interest and things like that on student loans out there because he's in trouble, particularly with the youth. But if you recall, it was when the government took over the student loan program back in 2010 that it was that interest that was going to help pay for the Affordable Care Act and which got it passed, you know, through Congress. I mean, folks, you can't make this stuff up.
Well, you know what? You make that fabulous point that as soon as government got involved in doing student loans, that's when the cost of education and everything went skyrocketing. At a time after World War II, individual companies would go in when they were looking for employees. They would go to universities and they would find the smartest, brightest kids who already got there into college. And then they would say, hey, look, I'll pay for the rest of your college if you come and work for my corporation. So at some point, when government sees functions in the private sector going well, they always seem to want to take it over. And we could even go all the way back to even, you know, government taking over the Federal Reserve.
Oh, no, absolutely. The Federal Reserve. Absolutely. Folks, we need to have government because men aren't angels, okay? But we all need to have limited government. Because other than the very big things like national defense, okay, infrastructure, you know, courts and the police, okay, there's not a lot that government does well. Well, most of the things they touch, they screw up.
Well, and Sam, that's one of the reasons why we also put together a package of bills with our appropriations chair called Back to Basics. Mm-hmm. That this is a package of bills that even starts with a bill that says zero-based budgeting. So instead of all the departments or all of the people who get money from this, you know, the budget every year say, I just need more and more and more. You know what? Why don't you take us back to zero and say, fight for the money that you already have instead of saying we need more and more each year. Look, for some people, yes, I understand that, you know, that's problematic. But at the end of the day, government keeps on expanding. And one of the things I always say is lower taxes, less government, more freedom. If it doesn't fit in those 3 check boxes for me, I don't vote for it, and I try not to vote for it. I'll actually put it to be fair about that because, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times there'll be really good things in some of the bad bills, and there's a lot of bad things and a lot of good bills. And my bottom line is that I got to make it work for our district, Western Pennsylvania. And basically, what I've done over the last 5 years in office is that I brought almost 82, $83 million back to the district. Now, everyone might say, hey, that's great. And I said, but here's the problem. I brought make sure that $85 million of your tax dollars came back to the district, but unfortunately, you probably paid, you know, $400 or $500 million to get that $80 million back.
Right. Well, and it's good that you're out there fighting for us, and we understand that and appreciate it. The problems that we have are that the Democrats just keep spending, you know, and I think, you know, I don't know if you could put up a bill. It would be great to see a bill that prosecutes politicians who lie in office, okay? And folks, let me tell you why I'm saying that right now, okay? Because we're always hearing about the Trump tax cuts, which will expire next year in 2025, okay? They'll sunset unless something is done to either make them permanent or extend them. Now, if you listen to what's happening, you hear all the Democrats going around and claiming that the Trump tax cuts, it was a giveaway to the rich, okay, to the wealthy, you know. Well, it was the middle class that actually benefited the most. But let me tell you something. Back in 2017, now this bill passed in December of 2017, but back in 2017, total receipts into the federal government were $3,316 million. Okay, this is income tax. So $3,316 million. Total spending was billion. Okay. So we had a deficit that year of $665 billion. Let's take this, go from 2017 to now 2022. Okay, just 4 years. That tax cut and the activity it generated by allowing people to keep more of their money and bring more money back from overseas through the repatriation of that, generated $4,896 billion in revenue or receipts. Folks, that's an increase of $1.5 trillion in revenue in just 4 years. So this wasn't a giveaway to anybody. It didn't cost us a dime. As a matter of fact, it generated increased revenue of $1.5 trillion. But here's the rub. While we spent just under $4 trillion in 2017, in 2022, we were spending $6.2 trillion. And in 2023, well, you have the budget for 2024, the Biden administration wants to spend $7 trillion and have a deficit of almost $2 trillion. So folks, when people like Valerie are out there telling you, we don't have a revenue problem, we have a spending problem, listen to them, because they have the receipts to show it.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And on a state level, we've got a governor that put forth a budget which actually has a structural deficit. And the thing that people don't understand is it's we are spending more than comes in.
Yep.
And the problem with that is that it's not just for this year. One of the things that the governor has proposed in his budget is it's recurring expenses. It's not just a one-time emergency. So when people talk about, oh, well, we should use the rainy day fund, well, you and your own household save your money and have it for a rainy day fund in case, you know, you have a water heater that goes down. That's a one-time purchase to buy it. And then that helps you. You have a leak in the roof. You put a new roof on. We're not talking about, well, actually, we are talking about leaks in the roof because we had a shutdown session before our speaker shutdown session because of a supposed leak in the roof. So we were actually talking with the going back to the topic we started with is, you know, with a member that is on the lam that maybe we're going to have another leak in the roof. But
yes.
But yeah, it's just, you know, this is, we're facing now a structural deficit, and the governor has put forth a budget that basically has recurring expenses. That's not sustainable. And, you know, we're looking to fall off the fiscal cliff if we don't do something about it in a couple of years.
And that was exactly, that's where I was trying to go. And sometimes, Valerie, you know, my wife used to always say that, you know, I have to, you know, if I'm going from here to the store, you know, a block away, that I'd go via Monroeville, meaning that I would drive all out of the way. So sometimes when I'm trying to make a point, I'm all over the place. But my point about, wouldn't it be great to have a bill that penalized politicians for lying is specifically because of that point. The governor is out there trying to say that even if you implement his budget, there will still be X billion dollars left in the rainy day fund. But they neglect to mention, to your point, that what they're doing is they're establishing new programs that they intend to keep in place because, as Ronald Reagan said, closest thing to immortality, you know, or being immortal is a government program, okay? And he doesn't take any of that into account. And it's very disingenuous. And to me, folks, I can't stand liars. It bothers me. And unfortunately, that's what too many of these folks are doing today.
Well, and the challenge with creating these programs in the state is that just makes us more reliant on federal government. And my view is that we need to empower local government more and more. Instead of having it go up, we need it have to go down into local government where you can control your, you know, whether it be your school board, what's going on. And we saw that during COVID. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in a way, I thought it was funny that, and by the way, people stop mentioning what the Democrats have done during COVID. Talk about wrecking the economy. And I mean, I was on the health committee at the time, and here are members who have no medical knowledge whatsoever saying, oh, we can't allow dentists, chiropractors, you know, eye doctors to see their patients because they might get COVID. My response was, they're doctors. You know what? They are perfectly able to determine taking the risk themselves. And that was something that we need to remind people who shut down the economy, who created this mess. And it really is the Democrats that were in office. And we fought like heck to try to, you know, make sure that people were able to get in business again. And that was just very problematic. And we need to remind people who did that to them.
You know what? I couldn't agree with you more there. You know, you had Governor Wolf just arbitrarily deciding to shut down all business activity, you know, restaurants and hotels and things like that. And he would announce at 4:30 that come 8 o'clock, everything had to shut down. And I can't tell you the number of restaurateurs that would call me complaining because, you know, they may have just bought food for the weekend, you know? So they were concerned about that. You had, our kids were out of school and we were trying to get them back in school. They weren't allowing them to could participate in athletics.
Well, you know, what was really fascinating in my district, I have Quaker Valley, I have Moon Township, Moon School District, and I have the West Allegheny School District. West Allegheny was back in school in the fall for the most part. And what's fascinating is that they never shut down, but coincidentally, they had the lowest amounts of COVID in all of Allegheny County.
Yeah, look at that, huh? Folks, we're going to be right back after the break with Representative Valerie Gatiss, a state representative in the 44th Legislative District, which you know, is my district. So I want to talk to her a lot more here right after the break. This is Sam DeMarco on the Elephant in the Room on WJAS 1320 AM and 99.1 FM Talk. Folks, welcome back to the Elephant in the Room here. I'm here in studio with Representative Valerie Gatiss, and we were talking about a whole lot in the first segment. We were talking about how the Democrats are voting while one of their members is on the lam from the police with a warrant out for his arrest, but they're using his vote to stay in the majority and to try to ram pieces of legislation through. We talked about a lot of the problems we have in Washington. We talked about the Affordable Care Act and your bill. Was it 575?
House Bill 555.
555.
Association health plans to allow small companies to pool.
So we talked about a number of other things. Now, you also have a couple other bills that are in the House. You want to talk about those?
I sure do. So one of the things that, of course, with all the rain that we've had over the last couple of weeks here in flooding is that we've seen a lot of landslides. Something that I have been working on with Representative Kincaid now for the last couple of years, and that is a landslide insurance fund. And that would be within the Department of DEP and Environmental Protection. And so what it would do is it would give both homeowners and municipalities both grants, loans, low interest loans, things like that to help them get those roads open, get those households secured, and get us, you know, moving forward. Because right now, landslides are not covered under any form of insurance.
That's concerning. And I can tell you, I can appreciate how some of these folks must feel, you know.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't like big government, but you know, what you were saying is that, you know, sometimes there is government that's needed, and it's needed for these big projects because these projects get our roads open, and that affects a lot of citizens. So I'm actually okay with some big projects like that, and landslide insurance fund is actually one of those things.
Well, and I agree, but that's what government is for, not micromanaging our lives.
Exactly.
You know? So what else are you working on in Harrisburg right now?
So, well, trying to eliminate the inheritance tax, or at least help small businesses out to raise the amount of which they get the exemption. Mm-hmm. And that is that the inheritance tax is so unfair. Pennsylvania has the second highest inheritance tax in the nation. So if you are a sibling, and that's one of the highest amounts, 4 or 5%, when every other state in the nation has it way lower. And the only exemption is if it's your spouse, and it's killing people. Here's the thing. It's killing people in their taking them out of Pennsylvania because they're moving to Florida. They're moving to these other states simply because they want to protect their assets. And Pennsylvania just wants to take it. And the reason why they aren't more generous and lower that is because it's one of the highest revenue sources in our budget. Believe it or not, it's unbelievable. That's that basically they want to take your money, and that's how we basically tax old people and people who are, you know, descendants.
Yeah, not even in death can you escape taxes here in Pennsylvania.
Oh, it's terrible.
Well, so it puts sort of a lie to the claims by the governor and others that they want to take and bring new businesses here to Pennsylvania, because who would want to come here with the onerous rules and regulations we have, not to mention the terrible situation regarding permitting?
Oh my gosh, the permitting. It's really the number one reason why people don't stay in this state, is because going through government is absolutely ridiculous. And all these new projects, we want to start these new projects and you want to have new business, but it takes months and months to get new permits.
The governor of Arkansas, when U.S. Steel built the Big River plant out there, the electric arc furnace plant, he said that he could take and have the plant built and operating before you could get permits in Pennsylvania. And he was right. These are folks, these are things that need to change. Now, how do you make them change? Well, you vote for people like Valerie who are willing to go to Harrisburg and fight for you to make those changes. Now, Valerie, we have a primary election coming up next Tuesday on April 23rd. Now, you don't have a primary challenger, yep. So you're in good shape there, right?
Fortunately, I don't have a primary challenger, and that just enables me to fight more and more to enable us to have lower taxes, less government, more freedom. Like I said, those are my focus. But I will have a general challenger. But going to the primary, which is on Tuesday, a lot of people, even if I don't have a challenger or there's somebody you feel as though there's no one on the ballot that you need to vote for, the reality is you need to come out because we have delegates. And Sam, you can talk a little bit about that. But we have delegates. And even though I'm not opposed, you want to go in there and vote for us as candidates, because when you go in there, that adds up the vote, and that you can see that we have that many people coming out to vote. And that's absolutely essential. You got to participate, because if you don't participate, then, you know, the problem is, you know, you have to participate. I don't even know where else to say.
And listen, I've been beating the drum for the last 4 years about the need for Republicans to make their voices heard. And I always talk about early voting, voting by mail or absentee ballot, because it's critical. I mean, no reasonable human being can think that as Republicans, we can allow Democrats to take up to 50 days to get their vote out and try to rely on 13 hours on one day to get ours out and hope to win. And if the results of the last 3 years haven't shown you that, you know, I don't know what more we can do. But that's why, even though this primary here, you know, it's not critical for you because you don't have an opponent, but it's critical that every Republican that cares about what happens in November reaches out to their family members, to their friends, their neighbors, their coworkers, their parishioners, their fellow bowling team members, whatever it is, anybody that's like-minded, to ensure that they show up to vote. And even if they're not going to vote on the primary, that they at least sign up and request an absentee or mail-in ballot so that they don't miss the opportunity to vote in November.
Absolutely. And it's, you got to vote. You got to get out there. And when people say that, well, my vote doesn't count, that's not true. And the thing is that if there's enough of us that get out there, it does count and it does make a difference. In fact, we've had races in Harrisburg that have won or lost by one single vote. Yep. And you don't want to be that person that could have made a difference in an election. And, you know, that's another problem, is that when people don't vote, but then they complain about the system. It's like, don't complain if you're not going to vote.
Right.
Get out and vote.
Well, one of the things, there have been studies done recently, Valerie, after the 2022 midterms, to determine why, you know, many Republicans are resistant to mail-in ballots or, you know, didn't use them to come out and vote. And what was surprising were the answers were, wasn't so much that they were resistant to them, but they just didn't understand the process or how it worked. Okay. And that's why a number of groups set up a website called Skip the Line. Skip the Line, PA.vote. Skip the Line, PA.vote. If you go there, it walks and explains the entire process to you. There are videos walking you through it and showing you, and you have the ability to connect you to the Department of State's voter registration page where you can request a mail-in or absentee ballot. And folks, this is how our military votes, our men and women in uniform. If it's good enough for them, it should be good enough for us. But every single person who cares about this country, who cares about the direction of it, and right now, over 70% of you are saying that we're headed in the wrong direction. Well, there's only one way to change it, and that's change the people that are steering the ship.
Well, you know, Sam, another thing that people can do is that know their community. That's the other thing, is that if people make these accusations that people are voting by mail who should not be voting by mail, or who are not non-existent or not alive, et cetera, you know, there are ways that we can make sure you know your neighbors. Help your neighbor get to the poll. Help your neighbor get an absentee or a paper ballot. If you know your neighborhood, that's how we secure this voting.
Right. And Valerie, I'm going to sit here. And, you know, I'm going to make heads explode all over Allegheny County from some of our folks on the far right when I sit there and say, you know, people always talk about all these people that are dead that are voting, but yet no one has brought me a single example or a single case of that occurring. Back in 2020, we were the only county in the Commonwealth that actually challenged voters that had returned mail-in and absentee ballots. We filed a challenge to 236 voters that had been approved for mail-in or absentee ballots here in Allegheny County based upon the state's registered electors list as of the Wednesday before the election. I sent it to the solicitor, and he called me, and he was like, Sam, what the heck are you doing? This has never happened before, blah, blah, blah. And I said, Andy, just look at it. He called me back a couple hours later and apologized. And he said, what happened was most of those people had died. Because in Allegheny County, over the course of a year, we lose approximately 15,300 people who pass away. Okay? But, so they went through. I ended up giving them a list of 1,900 names. They went through them all. And out of all of them, only 23 people had actually returned a ballot, you know, and then had passed away between September and October. And they went. But then they went through that weekend and they pulled all of those ballots. Okay? Folks, if you care about the things, that's what you can do. But for the folks that just come in and claim off the wall that something's taken place or they did it and then expect folks to run with something, I mean, hey, if you have an example, please bring it to us. Yeah, we'll do something about it.
You know, Sam, you're absolutely right that in 2020, I had a lot of people who said to me, well, I got these extra ballots, or my ballot was wrong, or this or that. And I said, well, please bring a sample of that in. Like, I can't fight that fight for you if I don't have the actual piece in front of me that basically says what they're claiming. And so please don't throw those away. If you have an issue or you have a question, certainly call in, call to RCAC, call my office. We'd be glad to, you know, verify the stuff that you get. But, you know, Sam, you have to admit it is easy for some people to feel frustrated with the system. And part of that is because for many years, over the last several years, there's been a lot of inconsistencies from county to county, but the legislature recently changed all that so that all the counties have to treat ballots the same exact way. We now in Allegheny County have cameras. Is that right? We have cameras that are in the...
We have 91 cameras down there, two completely separate, redundant video surveillance systems.
And aren't the average person can just go online and they can actually look through those cameras? Can't they see?
No,
them?
They cannot. It's not streamed. It's not streamed online.
Okay.
But this is all recorded and available by video. But every candidate that's on the ballot has the ability to send an authorized observer down there.
And we do
who
that.
Who can watch this, right? The parties have the ability to send authorized observers down there.
Delegates too.
Yes. I mean, everybody that's on the ballot. And we take and send an attorney who's very familiar with the laws of Pennsylvania to take and represent our interests there and ensure that things are done. And look, even last night I'm fielding emails from folks concerned about illegal aliens voting and things of this nature, right? And I explain a lot of the safeguards that are in place, change of custody and things like that. But then I urge them, folks, we need to steer people in positive directions. We need to get them to focus on what's important, and that's getting more Republicans and independents and like-minded folks to the polls to vote. And you can only do that, you know, through early voting and absentee and mail-in ballots, because we've seen in the past where folks will show up at the polls and walk away because the lines are too long, or it's taking too long to get through, or there's some other mishap, or, you know, they have to get home and make dinner. The kids are sick. They have to work. You know, the cars broke down. You know, the weather is bad. Take away and eliminate all of those excuses or potential mishaps. Apply for a mail-in or absentee ballot and be able to rest easy on election day knowing that your vote's being counted because you got an email saying that your ballot was received and it's going to be counted.
Well, Sam, you talk about getting engaged and getting involved. So how do most people get involved, and what can they do to get involved to help volunteer, be a poll watcher, volunteer at a poll? What are some of the things they can do, and who should they contact?
Well, for us, Valerie, thank you for bringing that up. For us, they can go to Allegheny.gop. That's Allegheny.gop, where you can sign up to be a volunteer. You can request information. You can comment, whatever it may be. You can donate, but whatever it may be. But you can get involved by coming to Allegheny.gop. Now, thank you for throwing that out for me. Let me return the favor. I mean, Valerie, you don't have an opponent in the primary, but you do have another far-left progressive opponent the Democrats have put up against you in the general. So if someone wants to help you continue your good work in Harrisburg and fight for us, how do they go about helping you?
Well, thank you, Sam. I appreciate that. One of the things, we have a website, votevalerigados.com, and that's vote, ValerieGados.com. And one of the things that why we need support so much is because we saw this in the county executive race, is that the money coming into these races, whether it be even local races, school board races, et cetera, it is now coming from outside the county, and not only outside the county, but outside of the state. Mm-hmm. I mean, our finances reports are available online. You can see it. We saw it in the county executive race. We saw it in the DA race. We've got the dark money coming from Soros, from Bloomberg, from all of those groups, and it's not our local citizens doing it. I know that my my opponent got the help from Summer Lee. Summer Lee got her a bunch of petition signer or circulators, and they all came from Summer Lee's district. I mean, this is wrong.
Folks, did you hear that? Summer Lee. Summer Lee is playing in the state legislative race here in the 44th Legislative District. If you want the 44th Legislative District to end up looking like what's occurring in the city of Pittsburgh or Braddock, where she is from, then go ahead and vote for them. But otherwise, if that's not a rallying cry, if that's not a cavalry bugle trumpet calling for help, okay, for Valerie Gatiss, I don't know what is.
Well, and it's unbelievable because, well, no, you know what? It is believable because we saw it. We saw it in the county executive race, and we saw it in the DA race, is that they are playing in these local races, and the money is just going to be pouring in. And that's the thing, is we're going to beat them. We know it, because we know that, look, I brought $85 million back to the district. We have done so much to represent our constituents, and I know that our constituents know that I am the right candidate for this district. Mm-hmm. It's just unfortunate that all these outside forces, someone was joking and they said, the city is doing all this overspending. And the reality is they got to start reaching into the suburbs. They got to start reaching into the suburbs to try to take the assets that we have, and we're not going to let them.
Well, that's what this whole talk about reassessments are. And that's a whole other thing. And you know what was really rich? And I'm sorry, because I don't want to digress on this. Folks, we'll do a whole show on this reassessment mess. But what I digress is, wasn't it rich to see Ed Gainey, the mayor of Pittsburgh, and Sarah Innamorato, the new county executive, standing together, calling on the state legislature to act in regards to assessments and reassessments, when they were in fact members of the state legislature and did absolutely nothing?
Oh, even
worse, while they were there,
Sam. Even worse, while county executive Sarah Innamorato was in the state legislature, she voted and sponsored a bill that would exempt people in the city of Pittsburgh,
yes,
from being affected by a reassessment should a reassessment occur. So that means, as I said to all the people in my district, is that means they're coming for you.
Right. They're just throwing more expense onto the backs of the people in the suburbs. You know, you're going to be paying the taxes of the people that they're letting slide, and that's not fair. But we'll be talking about that later. But hey, you know, whenever we started talking, I mean, we just go, before we end up, I need to talk about our upcoming Lincoln Day dinner, okay? Folks, Allegheny County is holding their 122nd annual Lincoln Day dinner at the Westin Hotel downtown on Thursday, May the 9th. You can find out more information about it or to purchase tickets by going to our website at allegheny.gop. And folks, it is going to be a great night. Our special guest speaker is Senator John Barrasso, Republican from Wyoming. He's the third ranking member in the U.S. Senate. He was born and raised in Reading, Pennsylvania, began his career as a physician, and served the state of Wyoming in the U.S. Senate since 2007. He has held the position as chair of the Senate Republican Conference since 2019, making him the third highest ranking Republican in the Senate. Now, we're honored to have him headline this year's event, but that's not all. We will also be honoring Governor Tom Corbett and Dr. Dick Joel. Governor Corbett served honorably as Attorney General in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and later as governor, and he continues to be one of the strongest voices advocating for conservative values across the Commonwealth. Dr. Dick Joel, former president of Grove City College, has been an indispensable pillar of support for candidates in Pennsylvania, having raised millions of dollars across his career to benefit those seeking public office. This annual dinner is our signature fundraising event. The money he's raised will help us assist candidates running for office up and down the ballot during this most crucial presidential election year. So your support is urgently needed. So please go to Allegheny.gop, or you can find the Republican Committee of Allegheny County on our Facebook page. But we have more information on the dinner, and the link to sign up via Eventbrite is there. If you would like to look at potentially sponsoring a table, you have the ability. Please call our executive director, John Snader, 412-458-0068, and we'd be happy to talk to you. But so, hey, Valerie, I had to get that out of the way. Got to put the plug in because it's a critical election year.
No, and I'll tell you, that's always a great program. Sam, how many people attend that? And, you know, tell people why exactly we need to go, because it's where anybody is who anybody is who's
This is the premier event.
Yes.
Political event in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Great networking.
This exceeds the state party events and all the others. I mean, we had, in 2020, we had Ted Cruz, and we packed the Omni William Penn. In 2021, Governor Ron DeSantis graced us with his presence. And we had over 726 people there that evening.
It's definitely a place to be.
Yeah, 2022, sure. We followed it up with Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas. Last year, we had rising star new Alabama Senator, Katie Britt. And folks, a lot of folks didn't know who she was then, but if you pay attention to politics, you're finding out who she is now.
She was a real powerhouse, that's for sure. We all listened to what she had to say, that's for sure.
Oh, she's great. And then, again, this year here, the number three guy in the U.S. Senate, Senator John Barrasso. And we'll, again, folks, this is an opportunity for you to come be among like-minded people. You can network. I mean, every major donor in the state seems to show up here. All of the statewide candidates, Stacey Garrity, Tim DeFore, Dave Sunday will be there, as well as all of our local candidates, Representative Gatos, Representative Ortitai, Mihalik, Kuzma, McCurry. I mean, folks.
Robinson,
the state senator.
Yeah.
State senator. And our candidates, you know, Jen Dentini running for Senate in the 45th state senatorial district. You have, Senate Pro Tem Kim Ward will be there. I mean, they'll be, hey, folks, it's if you're at all interested in politics, this is the place to be. And again, that's Thursday, May 9th at the Western Hotel downtown. Tickets can be purchased by going to our website at Allegheny.gop or the Republican Committee of Allegheny County's Facebook site.
And you know, one of the things that I had attended the Pennsylvania Leadership Conference in Central Pennsylvania a couple weeks ago, and the topic was how to get more younger people involved. So this, Sam, going to the Lincoln Day dinner is a great opportunity to bring your kids to these events so that they can start getting involved, because that's one of the things that we've been trying to get younger voters involved. And as I mentioned earlier, there was a 538 interview about what's going on with our young people. Mm-hmm. And what's fascinating is they called the term Trump curious. and they might not like him, okay, some categories of them, but the reason why they're curious is they see him as a contrarian, and the Democrats, the young people, we need to constantly remind them that they did get ripped off from their candidate, that the Democrat Party went ahead and forced Joe Biden to be their candidate. Remind young people of that, that their own party did not listen to them on what candidate that they wanted to have. And so we need to bring more young people into the party, and this is an opportunity to just get them engaged.
No, listen, folks, they're finding out. Look, you know, I get calls from the media all the time, and they ask me questions. They want to know. Joe Biden last month opened 14 campaign offices here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. So he's trying to build out his campaign offices. And so folks are asking me about where's the on-the-ground infrastructure for the Trump campaign at? And as if it's a question, I try to explain that people know who Donald Trump is, and they also remember what life was like under former President Trump, when we had money in our pocket, when wages were rising faster than inflation, prices were much lower than they are today, and where we weren't wars everywhere we turned around and looked overseas.
Ironically, the criticism of Donald Trump was that we weren't respected in the world. Well, you know what? We aren't respected in the world now with what's going on in the brink of so many world wars and potential wars going on. That it's disgraceful.
I mean, President Biden maybe has a Freudian slip,
yeah,
right? He's going to be
nice.
Former president here after November. But, you know, he's out there. It seems that he coddles the terrorist organizations, Iran, Hamas, right? And he takes and bullies our allies like Israel.
I think he's the first president to get both sides hating him.
Yeah. Well, that was interesting when he came and visited Pittsburgh here the other day.
Yes.
You know, they talk about and you know, Ryan Dedo or Dedo from the Tribune Review. I mean, my gosh, the guy's from California. So you got that far left slant. But he talked about, oh, there was an enthusiastic crowd of 100, you know, at the steelworkers to listen to him, right?
He's the president of the United States.
There were 400 people outside protesting him, and many of them from his own party, you know, the pro-Hamas folks. So, you know, look, again, Valerie, when we get started talking, there's just not enough time, you know, but I want to thank you for taking the time to appear on our show today. And I want to tell you that you have an open invitation to come back anytime to talk about whatever issues that you're working on here in Harrisburg, or to talk about, you know, your campaign, how it's going, or whatever it is that you may need, you know?
Absolutely. Love to come back. And you know, as I've said, my focus is lower taxes, less government, more freedom. And you know what? Frankly, lower taxes plus less government does equal more freedom. And that's one of the major focuses of my job in Harrisburg, is to get your money back for you in what you've put in, to bring it back to develop your communities. And that's what I've done.
Well, and I appreciate it. And we appreciate you also watching out for waste, fraud, and abuse there as well, you know, because we got to make sure the money that we do send gets spent wisely. And that's, I mean, that's always an ongoing battle with the Democrats in charge, because they've never met anybody they didn't want to give your money to, not their own, but your money to. So, folks, thank you for listening in today. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And I want to thank you for being members of our audience. We do appreciate it. Until next week, on The Elephant in the Room, this is Sam DeMarco signing off on WJAS 1320 AM and 99.1 FM Talk. Have a great weekend.